your Ali C today.
Another weekend is in our rear view mirror. Looking ahead, the week that is will include a lot of news out of the Middle East. And how does it affect you and I in our backyard? Could affect oil prices, but not right away, since we don't really get our oil from Libya. But the perception of what's going on in the oil biz should kick it down a notch as far as what a barrel costs from the New York Mercantile Exchange and other places. Therefore, it ends up being good news for us, because you might see a few pennies come off the pump. Could happen. Kate Delaney, ATN. The name of the game, of course, is Buzz on the Overnight Highway. You can be part of it, certainly, by sending us your thoughts at americatonight.net. I'm going to dive into that in a second, the Libyan situation, because Gaddafi is just a hair's breadth away from apparently being captured. But before we do that, Israel is going back and forth with those on the Gaza Strip. They're exchanging gunfire. Gunfire of a different variety. Meaning, I mean, they're just going back and forth is what's happening. So this has now gone on for a couple of days, and it's a very tense situation between Israel and Egypt. There's a lot of tension in that area following the Israeli strikes in Gaza, and this was after a series of attacks in southern Israel that happened last week that actually targeted cars, soldiers, buses. So the Egyptian military says Israeli forces might have been targeting militants near their border with Gaza when they hit and killed some Egyptian security personnel. So immediately, because they're no fools, they jump on the horn right away to apologize. Here's Shimon Peres talking about the serious regret, sorry, that some of the soldiers were ultimately killed in this.
I regret very much that some Egyptian soldiers lost their life. There was no Israeli. They didn't try to do everything to prevent any danger or death to the Egyptian people or the Egyptian army.
If anyone thinks there's going to be peace in the Middle East in the next 10, 20, 30 years, you are smoking something that the rest of us aren't. No one, they say in Israel's armed forces intentionally acted to harm Egyptian security personnel. But outside the Israeli embassy in Cairo, hundreds of demonstrators were gathered around over the weekend to protest the killings. They demanded Egypt sever its ties with Israel. In fact, I remember seeing this. There were protesters that were burning Israeli flags and chanting, "Egyptian blood is not cheap." I'll say it again. You are fooling yourself if you think we're ever going to have peace in the Middle East. It's a waste of breath. Right now, it's a waste of breath. You could say, well, why would you try? We've been trying for a very long time. Speaking of trying, it's been since February, this deal with Libya and Muammar Gaddafi, who's been in power for 42 years, supposedly. Both Gaddafi boys are caught while Muammar Gaddafi runs free, and they're trying to find him. As that happens, there'll be more celebrations, I think, in Benghazi. You'll get more tweets out of Tripoli, all that stuff, and everybody's happy and they're waving their flags. But who, if this happens, if Gaddafi ultimately goes, which he might not, because they're supposedly have some Gaddafi forces that are trying to re-enter Green Square, Tripoli's Green Square, who takes over? Nobody can fully answer that question. Nobody. Is it a combination of people? Is it one person? Is it a government that just runs itself? There's a lot of question marks, but it still hasn't happened yet. Gaddafi still has his heels dug in. He has not left yet at this point. Hasn't left yet. While Gaddafi's fate hangs in the balance, the fate of two American hikers, sadly, they were sentenced to 9 years hard time in one of the worst prisons in the world, and it looks like there's no way out for them unless the appeal process works or a humanitarian deal works, and that's pretty tough. Josh Fatale, Shane Bauer have gone through some crazy things in solitary confinement, but I think the knowledge of living with all of this has to be more or less, has to be the worst thing. They have to be wrestling with it, I would assume. And they have no idea when it's going to end because they've been harassed a bunch when they were here in this prison. Sentenced to 8 years in prison. 8 to 9 years in prison. A stiff sentence indeed. I guarantee if they could take back that trek through the part of that bordered on Iran where they were, supposedly, boy, they would take it back. But unfortunately, they cannot do that. So now it's all up to the system and what the system, their corrupt system, ultimately unveils, reveals. Because it's not going to be a humanitarian thing that saves these kids. I'm sure they're getting bombarded by letters and apologies and everything else. But I don't know what's going to cut it. It's a deal for deal. Let us have our nukes and stay out of our way. And we'll let you have in Iran. And we'll let you have our prisoners. Can you imagine that negotiation? Because remember, the United States does not negotiate. Doesn't negotiate. They're doing a hard time while Muammar Gaddafi runs free somewhere because they have not captured him at this point. And there's even talk that some of his people are going to put up a bit of a resistance that might make it tough for them to actually be there and completely invade. It looked like they were completely invading, but apparently not yet at this point. Quickly, I'm going to tell you about this. There's a drought, a heat wave, and wildfires. They are killing Texas, Oklahoma, New Mexico, Arizona, Kansas, Arkansas, and Louisiana. Do you know they say now that the losses are well over $5 billion, rather? I went by a creek that's normally overflowing today in Texas, and let me tell you, it was bone dry. I mean, bone dry. Opposite, when we talk about the Ohio Valley, heavy rain, melting snow in that area caused flooding along the Mississippi River, as you know, and its tributaries. Two people died. The economic loss there, $2 billion to $5 billion, they say. Mother Nature, costly in the Midwest with the tornadoes and the Southeast with the tornadoes. And then that Groundhog Day blizzard, that was crazy, wasn't it? Stay with us. Going to introduce you to Matt Long from the New York City Fire Department. You don't want to miss his story. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
When making important financial decisions, you should always know the facts. That's why Midas Resources is willing to pay you to read the facts. Midas Resources, a team of hand-picked financial specialists with decades of financial experience who are ready to provide you with state-of-the-art, up-to-date financial services. Midas Resources offers a host of services and stands behind their products. In fact, if you call and order their free Midas report, Midas Resources will pay you. This detailed report will provide you with financial history on the safest and most profitable areas to invest in. If you read the report, Midas Resources will send you a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar. So what are you waiting for? Get the facts and call Midas Resources toll free at 888-292-2709. That's 888-292-2709. And remember, if you read the Midas report, you'll receive a free Walking Liberty silver half dollar.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA approved food grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, Coast to Coast, and of course all those nooks and crannies that we're so fond of talking in between. Imagine this, every day of your life, you ride a bike to work and you happen to ride that bike in a very, very crowded area like New York City. That's exactly what our next guest did for so long. Matt Long is his name. And in 2005, life couldn't have been better for the 17-year FDNY veteran until the day that a 20-ton bus hit him while he was doing what he did every single day with no problems, biking to work. His amazing story, though, where he's come since that day. Boy, we're going to talk about that, and we're thrilled to have him on America Tonight. Matt, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
I'm going to have you take us down what happened, because I didn't give a very good explanation, just that the bus had hit you. Was it just pure shock? You were blindsided? What happened?
Well, yeah, I was blindsided. But fortunately, I don't remember the actual impact or the accident. You know, I think the mind is a very powerful thing, and it knew if I survived this and I had any memory, I'd probably never get on a bike again or may not recover mentally. So anything I tell you was told to me. I was riding north up 3rd Avenue, Manhattan, and the bus just made a right turn out of nowhere, and I hit the bus kind of in the front end of it and went right underneath.
Wow. Wow. And then the injuries were so bad. Is this true? The doctors gave you like a 1% chance to even survive?
Yes, that's true. They told my parents and my brothers and sisters when everyone got by the hospital that that this was as bad as it gets. And, you know, they didn't really think I'd make it through the night.
So you were in the well, let's say this. You lost 68 units of blood. I can't even imagine what that was like for your family in the first 40 hours after that accident. I mean, they must have been doing a lot of praying and calling up everyone they knew. And I'm sure when you talk to them, they just must pinch themselves now, because you can look back on that and do that, but not when it first happened. Do you remember when you really came to and realized, and then you're like, oh, I'm in the hospital. I'm kind of groggy, and here I am. But do you know when you really could feel, okay, here I am, I'm alive, but I'm in pain?
Yeah, it was about 6 or 7 weeks later, and I just remember, you know, some bright light, white lights in my face, and my brother Jim explaining to me that I was run over by a bus, that I was in the hospital, and I was being taken care of. And it didn't, you know, I was heavily medicated, so it didn't sink in. And I was like, okay, well, when are we going home? You know, when am I getting out of here? I gotta start running. I'm training for the Boston Marathon. And, yeah, that's when I think they slowly started taking me off some meds to get a, you know, to get, let me know that I'm aware of what happened to me and how severe it was.
Yeah, wow. So do you realize that you said that I want to get going, I want to run, you were physical. So you had the drive, and is that what got you to this point where now you're running marathons, you completed an Ironman, that's wild, you're on the bike every day. What was that what drove you that you knew, boy, I'm an athlete and I got to get back to it?
Well, I guess that's what I wanted to get back to. You know, I've been an athlete my entire life, whether it's, you know, basketball, pickup games in the street, or running marathons and triathlons. I just didn't want this accident to change my existence. So, I mean, it has altered my abilities. It has altered my speed and the way I walk and definitely the way I run. But it hasn't taken the person, the athlete, the competitiveness out of me. So that's why I'm still involved, and that's definitely what drove me to push for this comeback.
Do you remember your, as I said, your running marathons, all that kind of stuff? What was it like the first successful, when you came back, the first one that you successfully completed?
All right, well, just the record straight, I only did one. There was only one comeback marathon.
Right.
But before my accident, I ran a 3:13, qualified for Boston.
Mm.
And less than three years from my accident, I went back to the New York City Marathon, and I was flanked by two friends because I didn't know if I'd make it the whole way. And I knew that I was getting a start with the Achilles Track Club of New York, so I'd have a 3-hour head start over the 40,000 runners that would come from behind me, and I wanted to make sure I had some support. It was a long day. That's all I got to say. 7 hours and 21 minutes. I was in a lot of pain, and in the last 3 or 4 miles, I don't really remember much. I just was just knew that that finish line would come closer with every step I took.
Yeah. And your friends must have been there and must have been so excited, though, once, because you had the two friends on the side, but you must have other people, I'm sure, at the finish line. They had to be beside themselves with excitement, right?
Oh, well, I mean, not to mention all the other stuff you had when you introed me, but I'm also one of 9 siblings. So, I have a big family, and they were all at the finish line. And I think I had 2 friends that I had planned to run with me, but then other people were running the marathon, realized either they were my friends of mine, they trained with me, or they knew my story, and they just said, I'm done, and they ran alongside of us.
Wow.
I must have finished with like 16 to 17 people that would just say, my race is over, I'm going to run with him the rest of the way.
Wow. So I said this, and is this right? You bike every day or every day you can? How far do you go?
I pretty much go out on the bike every day, as long as I can. But I try to get 200 miles a week.
Wow. Do you go solo or do you go with other people, or it just depends?
No, I'm part of a I joined a cycling team. Cycling is a lot better for me than running with a low impact. And
yeah.
I have one leg is shorter than the other. My hip is a little screwed up, and the cycling doesn't seem to bother it. So I joined the cycling team, Asphalt Green Cycling Team in New York City, and I train with them 5 days a week, and then I go out with some friends on the weekend.
Very cool. I have to ask you this because I was in New York during 9/11. I was working at the Fan in New York City, and you, of course, were there. I mean, first response, you think of that, first responders. When you... This is an anniversary of 10 years coming up. What kind of an impact that had to have a big impact on your life, too, the responding to this, to what happened there, and then you have this devastating accident. How do you remember what happened on 9/11?
Well, it's 10 years now. Try not, as firefighters, most of my friends, at least, we don't talk about it too much. But I think what it did for me was it really was one of those moments in my life where it just made me realize that life's too short, and you never know what's going to happen. And so, right after September 11th is when I really started to jumpstart my fitness, and I just had this thing in my head that if I'm going to be a firefighter for the rest of my life or the next 10 or 15 years, that I wanted to be prepared for anything that could come my way. So I really, really started taking care of my body and what I put in my body. And so I just knew that if anything was to happen, it wasn't going to be because I failed or my training let me down.
Yeah.
So it really got me going in that sense in the word.
Yeah. Tell us, you have a book. Tell us about your book.
Yep. So I wrote a book about my journey. It's called The Long Run, and it's out on paperback now. Charlie Butler was my co-author, and he did a great job. He wrote a little story about me in Runner's World magazine after I finished the marathon. And I told him, I said, my next goal is the Ironman. And he was like, oh, mind if I tag along? And Charlie and I decided to put it down in a book. And, you know, it goes, my childhood is a little bit of my family. I think the best thing that comes from my book is the fact that I didn't survive this accident by myself. The support system I have was just unbelievable with the fire department, and, you know, my eight brothers and sisters and their husbands and wives and nieces and that. It's just the support system was unbelievable, and I was an extremely lucky man to have that.
Yeah. You also started a we want to tell everyone, go to Amazon.com. You can pick up Matt's book and some of the things that we just touched on here. I'm sure there's much more in the long run. You also have a foundation, I Will. Tell us about I Will.
Yeah. So, you know, during my my recovery process, as I was, you know, kind of battling depression a bit with why this happened to me and thinking of all the things I couldn't do in life anymore and, you know, how my life was changed. I started to realize that when I was happiest and I was healthiest and I was setting goals for myself, I always thought there was nothing I couldn't do. And, you know, if someone said, you're not fast enough to qualify for Boston, I said, I will. So I started using those two words again. And so I decided to put my story down on the internet to let people, anyone else out there who's going through a tough time, that look what I did. And after facing devastating odds, I mean, less than 5% chance to live. Not only did I live, but I'm an athlete again. So I put it all up on the I Will Foundation, and now we're helping people who've suffered traumatic injuries or illnesses live their life to the fullest. It has nothing to do with the caliber of athlete you are or anything else. It's just about someone who says, hey, this is the cards I was dealt, but I don't want them to define me. And we're trying to help them out.
I love that. I Will. You can tell it. You can hear it in your voice. Matt Long, thanks so much for coming on with us. Pick up a book, folks, The Long Run, Amazon.com, and check out the foundation. The best of luck to you with everything that you're doing. And again, thanks for spending some time with us.
Thanks for having me. Have a great evening.
You too.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Meet Jerry D.
Hi.
Jerry and his family, like you, are very concerned about world conditions and have gathered many emergency preparedness items, including turtle tough shelters.
We have added 2 24-foot turtle tufts to our supplies and feel very secure knowing our large family is ready for whatever the future may bring.
Turtle tuff shelters are not tents. They are permanent yet portable four-season geodesic frame shelters that are as strong as a cabin at a fraction of the cost and are easy to set up, take down, and move anywhere. Available in 2 sizes. Get your turtle tuff shelter and accessories included at turtletuffshelters.com. That's turtle TUFFshelters.com or call 801-623-3288. That's 801-623-3288. Or see them online at TurtleToughShelters.com. Turtle Tough Shelters, your all-season home away from home.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass weigh stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
What would you do with a check for $25,000? What if you could eliminate all of your credit card debt in 90 days and keep all of your money? Hi, I'm Jason Davenport, and I've just completed ZeroDebt100.com, a program that stops and prevents debt collections of all kinds, including debt collectors and foreclosures, with guaranteed results. Forget loan modification. Zero Debt showed me how to get the banks to pay my property taxes and insurance while stopping my foreclosure without paying one dime. An attorney tried to garnish my wages, but the court denied his request because of what I file from the Zero Debt program. Find out how I did this by calling Zero Debt today at 800-477-9256. Tell them Jason sent you and ask for the Zero Debt special and the free bonus promotion about stopping an IRS levy and getting your money back. Tell them Jason sent you and call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit www.zerodebt100.com.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor
said. Coming up in our next segment, you won't believe the words that are going into the Webster Dictionary. I mean, I guess I shouldn't say that anymore. Ginormous. People still don't believe me that that's a word, but if you look it up, it's there. Ginormous. And I never even used to use that word until I found out it was in the dictionary. So, different times. Of course, sexting, I'll give you a little preview. Sexting is one of the new words in the dictionary. I know you're not stunned by that, right? Because you hear the term sexting all the time. Whether it's a bad thing, a good thing, or problematic. It's a word that is used constantly. I don't think that's a stunner that sexting is there. But there are a few other words that I bet you have no idea what they mean. So in our next segment, we're going to introduce you to some of the new words that you might be hearing in your neighborhood soon. Plus, a shameless plug for my new book. Oh, yeah. Shameless plug. I'm expecting that audience. In our, because we had a live studio audience, of course, at the Mothership in Minneapolis. And I begged Matt Johnson before he came to work to stop and get a whole bunch of Red Bull or 5-Hour Energy or whatever it would take to keep them alive and kicking so that the blood would be pumping through their veins during this hour of America tonight. It is the start of another week. And, you know, I got to wonder about Josh Fatale and Shane Bauer. Do you recognize those names? Probably not. Not movie stars, not athletes, not politicians. But they are the two hikers. Remember the ones that were caught by the Iranians and they were tried? They were considered to be spies. They were convicted. They're supposed to do 8 to 9 years of hard time. You heard us mention that at the top of the hour. Of course, the push is, let's get an appeal. Let's get an appeal. What about humanitarian reasons? What about appealing to other countries refusing to do business, as Ellen Ratner said, with them, if they shouldn't release the two hikers. I say that these hikers have to be pretty scared, because now it's been well over a year and they're more than in thick. I can't even fathom what it would be like to be in a prison there. I can't even imagine. Hard time, especially one of the worst prisons in the world. One of the worst. Let's see, Rahway, Even is what it's called, Even Prison. I would be scared. I wonder if they'll even keep them together. I saw a photograph of them and their faces. It told the story. The Brothers Grimm. Brothers Grimm. You know, the prison is so bad. I mean, so awful. They say that the two have already been abused. They've been assaulted in prison. And, I mean, it's just completely harsh conditions, because where they are being housed is the wing for political prisoners. So, of course, they're going to just jam on them. I don't know that they'd even survive it. What do you think? You think these two guys, young in their 20s, think they'll survive it? Sentenced on charges of spying and illegal entry? Even at one point, because there's been some stories that have emerged, a little storytelling here. At the prison, one of them, it was Josh Fatal, supposedly, a guard said that he took extra food. You know what he did? Pushed him down a flight of stairs. And repeatedly, they've thrown the other guy against a wall in his cell until his head started bleeding. I don't know that they, honestly, these two guys in this prison, my prediction, I hate to say it, I'm not giving them a death sentence. I don't think they survive it. I don't think so. In fact, I think what they believed is they would be executed, because the guards were playing kind of Russian roulette with them. And then your mind stretches to some craziness of, you know, who knows, stoning or something else. But they did at one point get loaded into a car. They were taken off somewhere, and that's what happened. They played Russian roulette with them, kind of cocked their weapons behind their heads, all that kind of stuff. And they were just begging for mercy. I mean, begging for mercy. And who knows? These are only a few little stories. Who knows what else we don't know? They get like an hour of sunlight, if they're lucky, a day. They sit side by side in a little space that's like the size of a towel. Psychologically, I mean, that has to be. I can't even imagine the ups, the downs, the roller coaster ride. You're mentally, your mind is on when you're in this situation. And I just keep going back to this. You know, you can never stop time. We all know that. What a feat that would be, huh? You know, the whole time machine thing. Guarantee these two guys, Fatal and Bauer, if they could go back in time, oh, they'd do it, whatever the price. They would do it. Because they're in a terrible situation. Especially given that nutball, Ahmadinejad, and the relationship with the United States. I mean, he's got something to hang on here with these two guys. And trust me, I think he's going to hang on to them. I don't think, whatever the push is, I don't think he's going to let them go. I think they're going to be there and they're going to serve that time, barring some miracle intervention. And I can't even imagine what that's going to be. I don't think so. Could you ever picture yourself? Could you? I mean, this is a good question anyway. We talk about people in prison. We talk about in California how they have no room. They say they have no room, so they let people out. And I shudder to think who could be in that crowd. But if you had to do time, and maybe somebody listening to me has done time, and I've talked to many prisoners in my lifetime, both in my TV career and on radio, could you do time? If you had to do time, and especially, and this is the thing with these two, they're not spies. I don't believe they're spies. Could you do the time if you didn't do the crime you're accused of, that you're convicted of? Oh, being blindsided, the worst. That would just eat my insides out. That would be the worst thing ever. Because now you're rotting away. You're being persecuted. And plus, you're not even in the United States. And you didn't do it. So you have this one lame appeal left because you know, they're going to do whatever they want. They can do whatever they want. You're in their country. And the U.S. can ask, can try to do whatever, but not with Iran. Because there's really there's nothing there. There's no bargaining. There's nothing they can do. And they're not going to bargain. So these guys are stuck unless somehow, for some reason, they get mercy. They get an odd twist of mercy. But I don't know that I think I don't know that I think that's going to happen. I don't think so. I think it'd be very, very tough to do this, to do the time. Knowing in your head that mental stretch that you have to go through. Cannot imagine. All right, there are a couple of other things. And by the way, you can always throw your two cents in. I don't mean to shove any of you aside, because your voices need to be heard on this overnight highway of what I call the water cooler buzz. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. How tough to do the time, and I don't see anything happening for them. I think it's a rough ride here on in. And especially, too, you look at some of the other things that are happening in the Middle East with Syria exploding, naturally, Libya, and Gaddafi now at this point cornered. It's a matter of time. And the push and pull, of course, with Ahmadinejad over nuclear power, wink, wink, nuclear capability. So that's not going away anytime soon. There is no real relationship whatsoever with the United States. It couldn't be further on the outs. So who steps in? Who's the knight in shining armor in this situation? I don't think so. Not at this point. There's not one. Not one. I got to throw this in because, you know, we do the nail the score thing here, starting up when the regular season kicks in. And how awful is this? What's going on? We got these flash mobs who at any point they can swarm innocent people. I think that's scary. In Philadelphia, they have a curfew, but it's sort of working, sort of not working. And now you've got San Francisco and Oakland mayors both saying, oh, we're not going to have violence with the NFL. So there was predictions that there would be violence if there wasn't an NFL season. And instead, after a preseason game, you have problems. Two shootings and a beating after a football game at Candlestick Park. Oh, come on, people. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Well, they're going to start to have cameras trained on all of us. You're going to go to your seat and you're going to hear this little, it's going to be a camera. Talk about Big Brother. You won't even be able to watch a game without a camera somewhere trained on you with the things that are happening in and outside of ballparks. And here again, they're looking into whether or not this was a rivalry situation. That it's gotten that out of control. You root for one team, somebody else roots for the other team, and a fight breaks out. It broke out in the stands. The 49ers, by the way, won, and this was Saturday in Candlestick, 17-3. So is there some kind of it was the 49ers versus the Oakland Raiders, of course. So is this going to be a problem? And you get these guys in their 20s. What are they thinking? What are they thinking?
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-457-9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
What nutrition are you missing that's leading to the four major diseases? Cancer, arthritis, heart disease, and Parkinson's. There are at least 80,000 medical studies that show a lack of the protein glutathione to be linked to cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. In all, at least 68 diseases. What is the number one food by which your body is most empowered to increase its glutathione production? It is undamaged whey protein from grass-fed cows. One World Whey is truly the first undamaged whey protein powder on the market. All other whey proteins are damaged by heat, chemicals, and filtration. One World Whey is now the standard by which all other whey protein powders can be measured. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit OneWorldWhey.com. That's OneWorld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Get beside me, I want you to love me. I'm surprised you never been told before that you're lovely and you're perfect and that somebody wants you.
Ah, yes, we're in the final stretch of America Tonight. The book that I have out, because now a lot of people have been asking me, so it's not necessarily a shameless plug, because several of you have sent me notes and said, what's the deal with that? It's called Level the Playing Field, Balls, Brats, and Other BS, or Really Fun Sports Facts. And the gist of it is, for example, did you know they have 18 million pages of documents at the Pro Football Hall of Fame in Canton, Ohio. Of course, it's much more than that. There's things about who should be in the Hall of Fame and the arguments that are always there. When did the Hall of Fame start? Who was in the first group of the Hall of Fame? And the first group had 17 people who went in, including Red Grange, the Galloping Ghost. And for some people, including myself, that's history before my time, so it's some really interesting stuff. It's based on sports shorts that you hear here on America Tonight, and it covers a wide swath of sports. Somebody was interviewing me over the weekend, and they said, well, what's the book about? And I told them that same thing, that there's all kinds of cool things you would learn in the book, little fun facts. But, You've got football and baseball, of course, and the NBA and the National Hockey League and horse racing and the Iditarod. So a lot of things, including mixed martial arts, all kinds of stuff. So, like I said, a wide swath. Wide swath, by the way. So how about some applause from those people in Minneapolis? Nothing. The book is so cheap, too. The book is so cheap. It's under $10. You can go to Amazon.com. It's like $9.99. It's 174 pages. And trust me, it's not a snore. It's not an almanac. It's not, there's nothing wrong with, like, every year I'm sure I get the ESPN almanac in my stocking. I think they do it just because it takes up so much room. But it has all the stats and all the records, and it's just lists of stuff. And there's some good stories, but it's not about that. It's about the records. It's the record keeping. And the book isn't a record keeper to bore you to death, and it would be thousands of pages, and it still wouldn't cover everything. So it's not about that. All right, so here are some of the words that are going into the new edition of the dictionary, the Oxford English Dictionary. It's the 12th edition, to be exact, so you know what I'm talking about. It's the 12th edition of the Concise Oxford English Dictionary. So the thing is, the smaller one, which is what it is, it's an abridged version of the big mama jamma Oxford English Dictionary. Have you ever seen it? Oh, it's huge. Can't even carry it. When I was a kid, we had one in our house, and it used to get used all the time, but it also used to be used as a device for smaller kids to sit on so they could actually reach the table. It was that big. So now this is a smaller thing. So here's the thing. Words like cyberbullying, of course, weren't in there in the past. Now cyberbullying is there. It's electronic communication to bully a person, right? This is their definition. Typically by sending messages of an intimidating or threatening nature. It's easy to use in a sentence. You don't want to go around cyberbullying anybody. Otherwise, you could end up in prison because people are being sentenced for cyberbullying and they're getting some stiff sentences. I think that word is now pretty common. I mentioned sexting, very common at this point. The informal sending of sexually explicit photographs or messages through the mobile phone. And there's like a whole thing about sexting that kids, there's a discord where they don't understand what's going on because this is the big the way to communicate. So sexting is a dangerous thing for lots of different people, especially teenagers, because they don't really understand where it ends up. And it always, people think, I don't understand this, it's like the Facebook thing. People who are married and are messing around or posting things on Facebook with other people, and because somebody takes their picture or whatever, and they don't even realize that. It's almost like, now you don't even have to be a celebrity to say, don't take my picture, I don't want it on Facebook. I've heard like 10 people say that out recently when I've been out. Don't put this on Facebook. That should be in the dictionary. Not on Facebook, please. All right, here's another word. It's called jeggings. And what jeggings is, it would be a noun, tight-fitting stretch trousers for women, supposedly styled to resemble a pair of denim jeans. Do men like women who wear jeggings?
What, are you kidding me?
Get your jeggings on. Let's go to a movie. I don't know, it sounds funny to me. What, paint them on you? That's just tight jeans. Can it just be tight jeans? Resembling a pair of denim jeans. Who uses the word denim? I'm going to go get my denim jeans on. Are you going to love this word? Or maybe you won't. I have a feeling that very few people in this audience, I'm giving all of you guys credit, because you're all about the politics. You're fired up. You're all about the freedoms and getting out of our space and, oh, such a smart crowd, whether you call the show or if you send us emails. I mean, honestly, it's a great crowd. So I don't think any of you wear a mankini. You know what a mankini is? It's a noun. It's a brief one-piece bathing garment for men with a tea back.
Can you repeat the part of this stuff where you said all about the things?
Yeah, let me get my mankini on. No, I don't think so. I don't know. It just doesn't sound good. It sounds like an old 20s bathing suit. Like, you know, you see the Roaring 20s. You kind of saw mankinis then. Sort of a different version of a mankini, I guess. Okay, so here's the next one. Retweet. Twitter is unbelievable. And the guys behind Twitter, just like Facebook, did they know what they had on their hands? That is part of the vernacular. It's part of the language now. A retweet. That means you repost or forward a message by another user. A reposted or forwarded message on Twitter. That's called lame and lazy. That's like cut and paste. Ever read a website where all the people do is cut and paste? Not that I have never been guilty of cutting and pasting. Let's see, let me cut and paste that. That was one of the hardest things I learned to do. I think it was the mouse's fault, not mine. Okay, here's an interesting word that also now exists in this dictionary. A woot. Do you know what a woot is? It's an informal electronic communication, and it expresses elation, enthusiasm, or simply triumph. I'm woot. That was a great woot you sent me. I think that's a very strange word. But I'm going to say the worst word of all of them is the jeggings. Jeggings is odd. I mean, it's very odd. Now, the other thing is they added some definitions of some words that are familiar, like cougar. Cougar was, you know, just something that you would see out in the wild in perhaps the American West. Now, cougar, who doesn't know what a cougar is? Cougar is an older woman hooking up with a younger guy.
Yeah, baby!
Hey, more power to either one of those, the guy or the woman. That can be a good thing on both sides of that encounter. I think it's because younger guys don't want to mess around with that. He's so cute, and I can't decide, and where do you want to eat? And they get tired of that. They just want someone that knows, that has some definition, that knows where they're going. And vice versa for the woman, I think she gets tired of the same old, same old. I don't know. I'm just saying, that's my two cents. Interesting. So now you know. You know what a woot is. You know what sexting is. You know what retweet is. And you know that the politicians sometimes are guilty, hello, Anthony Weiner, of sexting.